today's environment, Lord, that there are things that come up in our life, just that came up in Jacob's life. And when we look at these things and we wonder why do these things happen? And we can look to things that have taken precedence in our life, and we can see that most of those problems stem in things that we hold more dear than what we hold you. And I just ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit this morning, that you will give me the right words to speak, the things that need to be said, and just the right application that will apply to your people here and today. And I love you, Lord, and I thank you for your blessings. Just help us to concentrate on your word for a little bit of time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we have this event that happens. And you got to wonder, where did this start? Some of you may know where this starts, but do you remember back when Jacob was in Haran with Laban and he likes Rachel and working 7 years for her and for Leah and then for some other things, and he's there for 20 years. And then they finally leave, and part of the story that I didn't talk about last time was that Rachel, when they were leaving, she went into her father's place where he kept all of his strange gods. The scripture will call them a teraphim, or if you look it up, that's what that is. It's called a teraphim. It's the household gods, and that was part of the culture there. And Rachel went in, and she took all of Laban's, her father's, household gods. And when he came back and he found that Jacob was gone, and he looked around to see if anything was missing, he noticed that was missing, and he rode out after Jacob. And he was upset because he thought Jacob had stolen the household gods. With the household gods, those are like the title deeds to your property, to your inheritance. And Rachel had taken it. I don't know if she wanted to claim it for herself. Whatever. The scripture doesn't say everything that's going on with it, but what it does say is that she had stuck them into the camel's furniture, and she was sitting on it. And when Laban come by looking for it, she told him, like, I'm with child, I can't get up. And he let it be. And she was the one who had stolen it, and it started right there. So now they've got all these false gods that have come into their life, and we see some things start to happen after Jacob meets Esau. And you know, the meeting isn't as bad as what Jacob thinks it's going to be. He thinks Esau is going to kill him. Esau doesn't. Esau embraces him. And they live together in unity in that environment, and they go and see Isaac, and they go and see Rebecca, you know, their mother, and you know, everything seems to be going good for a little bit, and Jacob moves his family to this little town called Shechem. And he's got a daughter, she's probably getting around teenage frame, and we know how teenage girls act sometimes, right? They want to have their girls' night out, right? That's what Dinah did. And she goes out to see the land all the girls in this area, but something happens. She gets in an environment that's not really that great. And there's a guy there that the town is named after him. His name is Shechem also, and he rapes Dinah. Well, the boys come out of the field doing their thing, and they find out our daughter, our sister, has been messed with. And they're angry, they're furious. Jacob is upset. Now Shechem's father, he comes into Jacob and he wants to make a deal, and he says, my son is fond of your daughter. And they're thinking, your son raped our daughter. And the boys are not thinking good thoughts towards Shechem, and they said, well, we can't tolerate that. Especially given our daughters and our sisters to those who are uncircumcised. We can't stand that. That is an abomination to us. And the 10, 11 boys or so, they conspire. And they say, well, we'll see if they will circumcise themselves. And then they'll go in and they'll kill them. and you think that, well, man, that's ruthless. On Shechem's side, they want to steal everything that's Jacob's. They want to take all of their possessions, and they're trying to make a deal. And you know what their bargaining chip is? Dinah. They have devalued this young girl. She's already going through a hard time with this. And now she has become property that two sides are bargaining with. Well, it just so happens that the third day, Simon and Levi go into Shechem and they kill all the men there. And then the rest of the boys come in and they raid. They raid the town of Shechem. They take all the property. They take all the people that are left, the women and the children, and they kind of become servants to them. And they leave. Hey, Micah, will you turn off this sound thing right here? It's echoing right here. It's the instrument mic. I'm sorry. It's bothering my ear. I don't know if y'all were hearing the echo or not. But anyway, that's what's going on there. And they're upset. Now Shechem's destroyed. Jacob looks at his sons. He's like, "How could you do this? You're going to make me stink amongst all the land here." And they turned to their father and they said, "They raped our sister, and they tried to use her as a bargaining chip. These things ought not be done in Israel." And you think, man, how could they do that? I'm telling you, it goes back to those false gods. And Jacob realizes something at this point. There is uncleanness in my house. My boys shouldn't be thinking like this. My daughter shouldn't be getting with a group of people that she shouldn't be getting with. She shouldn't be putting herself in those compromising situations. And my boys shouldn't be doing the things that they're doing. Something's wrong in my house. And he looks and he sees that they all have these false gods in their lives. And he says, "Bring them to me." And they all bring him their false gods, and he buries them. He gets them out of their lives. And they go back to Bethel, where God talked to Jacob the first time. And he renews himself and his family. And he says, "I haven't been doing a good enough job teaching my family about the Almighty. They've learned about all these other gods. I've got to get them out of that environment, and I've got to teach them about the holy, not the wicked." They're learning that. They learn that without you teaching them. We must teach our children holiness and righteousness. They're not going to learn it by accident. They're not going to learn it from the world. The world voluntarily teaches wickedness and unrighteousness. We don't really have to teach it to them. They learn it. But if they're going to learn to be holy, it is because you take that step in your life. Because you realize the penalty of sin and what it does in somebody's life. And if you're going to cleanse your house from sin, you've got to recognize the problems to begin with. At least Jacob finally did, but he didn't recognize it to begin with. And it all started back there with Rachel. You know, Rachel was his favored person, right? So he can't condemn her because she's his favorite. And he allows this to continue on for a while. But here's a symptom. When sin has entered your family, one of the first things that you're going to recognize, just like Jacob saw, is that there seems to be an endless supply of bad decisions. And that began with Rachel stealing. Let me show you a couple of verses. That verse is 31 and 19, if you want to look at that verse with me. Chapter 31 and verse 19. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Look forward with me in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. What is that? Everyone read that verse with me. It says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I want to show you something in Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Look at verse 7 to begin with, so you get a little bit of a context of this. It says, and this is Jeremiah, he receives it from God. Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. Look at verse 10. It says, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk after the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. If you don't know what a girdle, maybe you're thinking modern girdles. That's what women do. You put on them to make them look slimmer, right? That's a girdle. That's not what a girdle was back then. It was more like a belt, a tool belt, that they would carry their sword on or their other instruments that they used. And Jeremiah had taken one and he'd buried it in a hole. And it had been there for a while, and the environment had dry rotted it, and it was good for nothing. He couldn't use it to hold his tools up anymore. And he says, this is good for nothing. And he says, this, when people are serving other gods, they refuse to hear my words, God says. They become just like that girdle. They can't be used for what their intended purpose is for. They have become useless. They become worthless because they will not hear my words, and they walk, what? In the imagination of their own heart. They do what they want to do. They don't want to be told no. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to hear God's words. They want to do their own thing. Why would they do that? Because they're serving another god. It may be the god that they look at when they look in the mirror. It may be some other things that come into their life. Anything that you put before God is an idol. It's a false god. It could be anything. It could be this building. Hey, Sister Betty and I, we were talking about the wall up here. I've been in some churches that sometimes walls become holy cows in churches. Have you ever heard of something like that? Things in the church can become an idol. Things that they put on a pedestal above the Almighty. They will not hear from God. They are serving false gods. Sin will erupt when they serve false gods. The devil wants you to serve those false gods. He wants you to give more attention to those things than to the Almighty. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. That brings us to Dinah. How better could the devil do to inflict terror on Jacob or to bring him down? He just had a great victory with his brother Esau. And the devil doesn't like it when you have victories in your life. He doesn't like it when good things are coming your way. He wants to do something. So he whispers in Dinah's ear, why don't you go see what the other girls in the land are doing? Why don't you go have some fun with the other ladies, Dinah? And she makes a decision to go do some things with some people that are inappropriate friends. See, there's another symptom that you see. When sin is in your house, it seems like you make inappropriate friends, those that get you into trouble. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. Friends that get you into trouble. And that's what happened to Dinah. And it ended up with her getting raped by this guy. It put her in a compromising situation. You know, that's what happens whenever, just like what happened with Dinah, it can happen to you too. When you are not seeking first the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, you could put yourself in a compromising situation. Because you're not on guard. The devil doesn't want you to have your guard up. And that's when he wants to attack. You know, that's what military people do too. They want to. When's the best time to attack? The element of surprise, right? When they've let their guard down, when they don't know. You know, George Washington, I think he attacked the British on Christmas Day, right? They were all celebrating. They had compromised their security. They compromised their situation, and it ended up winning the Revolutionary War. They compromised. Sin will make you compromise your situation. It will make you compromise your integrity, your honor of your family and of yourself. That's what happened to Dinah. You think, well, he shouldn't have done that. Listen, the devil doesn't care about you. He doesn't. Shechem was working for the devil. He's got lots of soldiers out there. He's got lots of guys who are working for him, lots of representatives. And you think, well, he shouldn't have done that. No, he shouldn't have done it. But she let her guard down. Jacob had let his guard down, and he allowed sin to come into his house. He's like, oh, it's just a little one. Everybody does it. It ended up with his daughter having something happen to her that she'll never be able to forget. It was no better back then than it is today when that kind of event happens. Sin had entered his house. Another thing that you see when sin enters a house is you see the devaluing of people and their lives. You want to know why abortion has been such a battle in our nation? It is because sin has entered many houses of the United States, and they have devalued life, the lives of the unborn. Where it is our duty as American citizens to protect every life of an American, but then you're going to say the one that is unborn has no right to life, liberty, or the pursuit of anything. Why would we ever do that? It's because sin has entered in and we have served other gods and we are serving other gods. You want to know why the pornography industry is booming? Why they're making their billions of dollars? Why it seems like every leader in our country has all of the bars and stuff that flaunt women and devalue them? Because we're serving idols. False gods have entered into the camp. And you will see that in your own house, in your own homes, when if you get to that point where you're serving someone else besides God, you will see the devaluing of persons, where other people don't matter as much. And you don't mind if they are taken advantage of. And you think, well, that's just the way it is. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It hasn't always been like that. But the greater the nation, the greater the home falls down before the idols of this world, the more you will see the wickedness rise. Why has the murder rate increased in Jonesboro, Arkansas? It is because the rate of idol worship has increased in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And it is like that everywhere else in the nation. You think Jacob is on to something? You think the Bible was giving us some clues how to protect yourself from what is going on? We see that vengeful spirit come out. Man, our kids at school, they much have a vengeful spirit. They did it to me. I'm going to get them back. Is that true? I hear them talking about it all the time. They have a vengeful spirit. You know what the Scripture says? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we want to get them back. And we think, well, that's human nature. Yes, maybe it is human nature. But that's not supposed to be the Christian nature. You're supposed to be a peculiar people. You're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like that. And you think it's okay? Jacob realized it was not okay for his boys to do what they did. And he says, I've got to get those things out of their life. They killed, they stole, they destroyed. The patriarchs of the Bible, when they were serving false gods, they did exactly what the Scripture says the devil does. If they could fall prey to that, do you think you're any better? You're not. The devil is pounding us every day with these false gods and these false idols in our lives so that we would get in this same position that Jacob finds himself in. I'm so glad that Jacob listened to God. When we get to Genesis chapter 35, we see God come on the scene. Maybe you can picture Jacob here. When he goes out behind his house and he falls down on his knees thinking about all of the death and the destruction that his boys were capable of doing and saying, God, why? Why did this happen to my daughter? Why would my boys do this? Why would they turn into a gang and go in and destroy a whole city? Why? And God says, Jacob, go back to Bethel. Go back to where I talked to you. You heard my voice there a lot better. Teach your children about me. Go back to Bethel. Get those false gods out of your life, out of your family's lives. Be bold, Jacob, to take a stand for the eternity of your children and get the wickedness out of their life. Jacob, can you do it? Revelation 2 and verse 5 says this, Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Do you know what it means to return to God? To return to Bethel? When he says, turn, repent. I know a lot of churches don't use those terms very much anymore, do they? And he says, remember from whence thou art fallen. Do you know what that means? That means that there is something about you. Yes, there is a sin nature inside of you. And every sin nature inside of a person has the ability to sin. And how it manifests itself will be different in you and you and you and you. All of you have a different way in which the sin nature will manifest itself. Sometimes it comes out as an adulterer. Sometimes it comes out as a murderer. Sometimes it comes out as someone who likes to watch things that they shouldn't watch. Sometimes it comes out as liars. Sometimes it comes out as covetous. Sometimes it comes out as an addict. It could come out in all kinds of different ways. This is what God says about it. It is sin. It has separated you from your Creator. Sin will send you to hell. And hell was not made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels. Are you born with a sin nature? Yes. If anybody says, well, I was born this way. Yes, you may have been born that way, but you should be born again. Have you been born again? Jesus said, if you're going to go to heaven, you must be born again. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Recognize your sin and turn from your wicked ways. Be born again. Repent and be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Do not leave today unrepentant, unborn again. Remember. Recognize where you fail. Realize God is right. I am wrong, and I must be born again. The Scripture would say it like this, For whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon His name. He will forgive. He will save. He will deliver you from whatever sin manifestation is in your life. Do you believe that? Say amen. return to God. Put away the strange gods from you, just like it says in verse 2 here. He says, put them away. Get rid of them. Be clean. Do you see that in verse 2, the bottom part of it? Be clean and change your garments. Clean yourself up. Get the sin out of your life. Is there anything in your life that makes you sin, that puts you in a compromising situation? Get rid of it. If it's your TV, throw it out the door. You know, one of the first signs of a revival that I think that we will see is we will see TVs on the side of the roads. You'll see the baptistry filled up with cell phones. As they say, this causes me to sin, and they just chunk it. It must be baptized too. Change your garments. Change who you are on the outside, and you know what happens? The outside changes too. You'll look different. You'll act different. You're not going to have the inappropriate friends anymore. Those guys will go away. They won't want to be around you. If they do come around you, they'll get born again too. That's what will happen. When you put away the strange gods from yourselves. Look at verse 3. He says, and let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. You see, Jacob says, I want to go back to Bethel. I'm going to make an altar there. Better than ever before. I'm going to set it up for my children to see. I'm going to make them worship God too. I'm going to help them serve God. Because I know the God who's at Bethel. He answers me when I'm in distress. You see, you're going to hold on to the sin in your life until you feel like you're in distress. Until you realize, I've done all these things. I've seen all these things happen in my life. Just like that happened in Jacob's life, his family. I've seen that happen in my life. There's a God who answers. There is a God who saves. His name is Jesus. He took the strange gods from his families. You know, that's where it's really hard in our American society. Because our kids are holding on to these things that are becoming idols in their life. And we parents are afraid to take it from them. I just can't stand to see them cry. You know what I've seen about crying kids? They quit crying. They get over it. And they'll be better for it. When you stand up and say, listen, I have the responsibility from Almighty God to make sure that you do right. Do you realize that? Those of you that are parents, future parents, grandparents, God has given you the authority. He has ordained you as the responsible members of your family. Because kids, what does the Scripture say? That foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. They follow their heart. What does Jeremiah 17:9 say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is your job, parent, grandparent, to make sure that they do not follow foolishness and that you drive it far from them. The Scripture just happens to say that the rod of correction will drive it far from them. That's a side note. That's for free today. Teach your family about El Bethel. Look in verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Hey, teach your family about El Bethel. You know what that means? It means the God of the house of God. Now here's the question for you. Is your house a house of God? Does El Bethel live there? Is he who rules and reigns in your life? Or is there another God there? In Jacob's world, there was a lot of other gods who were taking precedence. And he had to go back. He had to remember from whence he had fallen. And he had to go back where he could hear God's voice. He had to go back and teach his family how to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Listen, when all this life is over, you're going to look back, and what you have done for Jesus Christ is all that's going to remain. You think your money, you think your wealth, you think your house, you think your influence, none of that lasts. But what you invest in your children will. What you invest in other people will. And that's what we're called to do, to be disciples. To make sure people understand what's right and what's wrong. To hold our family accountable when they're going astray. And to be bold enough to take a stand. To get those bad things out of their life. And take them back to Bethel. If the song leader, the pianist would come, will you pray with me, dear Lord? I just want to thank you for this story of Jacob. Lord, would you help us to understand how to get sin out of our life? Help us to recognize the sin when it develops, and help us to be bold enough to take those steps necessary to get it out of our lives. Lord, would you guide us in these things? Would you help us to understand? Would you just be with us as we go through the rest of this week, that we may be able to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Guide us, Lord, as your people. Help us to always remember from where we are fallen and to repent from our sins and to call upon your name for salvation and for deliverance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and turn around.